Welcome in Upstate. It is a Monday Night Football edition of Straight Up with Sturge. Diesel and I live in the studio. We'll run you up till 7 p.m. And, of course, by 8:15 tonight, you'll have kickoff in the NFL. Not a bad football game tonight either. So you do have the Minnesota Vikings, 6-5-1 on the season so far at the Seattle Seahawks. And it's an 8:15 kick, and the Carolina Panthers are going to have to play close attention to what's going on because you suck all of a sudden. Five consecutive losses to drop to 6-7 on the year. And guess what? You're a game and a half out of Seattle when it comes to a wild card. Oh, yeah. They also hold the tiebreaker because they beat you earlier this year. So, I mean, you're talking about a season sitting there at 6-2. Even though you got the New Orleans Saints in your division, but at 6-2, you're feeling pretty good about playoff chances. Five consecutive losses later, including giving up 9 points in the fourth quarter to Cleveland. The Cleveland Browns, Diesel, and they lose 26-20. So, again, Monday Night Football, Minnesota at Seattle. Listen, today is your day. You got something to get off your chest when it comes to college football, the Heisman, Army-Navy thoughts, All-American teams, bowl games on Saturday, the coaching carousel, feel free to. In the NFL, we'll talk about the Panthers and how their chances have gone. We saw a miraculous play yesterday down in Miami. We'll get into that because Bill Belichick outcoached himself. Also, NFL standings, college basketball, all over the place. But Diesel, I got to ask you, I know I try not to really put the mic in front of you here in the first segment while you're back there loading things in, but you were like a kid on Christmas morning yesterday looking for some place to go sledding or doing something, and you'd hit us up. And did you ever find anywhere to go sledding? I saw the snowman that you made, and that is why we call you at Sport Talks most decent producer. But
it was a pretty decent snowman.
Yeah, I mean, and of course,
Well, it was an indecent snowman because he touched me in an inappropriate way.
Snow means snow, right?
Snow means snow.
Absolutely.
No, we were just kind of I wanted to see what the hype was all about because Sturge, you know very well that you like to embellish. You always say never let the truth get in the way of a good
absolutely.
Story, right?
Especially between 4 and 7.
So you embellish all the time, and you talk about. You talk about the hill that you live on is so hard to get out of. You act like you're never getting out, that you're going to need a Sherpa to bring you stuff down there on snowshoes to get out of there. And you know what? I was driving up and down your streets in two-wheel drive, rear-wheel drive in a Jeep, and I was fine. Mister, can't get out of this.
Did I say I had a problem? Now, hold on. That year,
you said you have a problem every single time it snows. You say you have a problem.
Snow's not a problem. Snow's not a problem. Ice is a whole different ball game. So, of course, I don't have a Jeep either. But
I had it in rear wheel drive. That's like any other vehicle.
Yeah, right. So
it's true. A rear wheel drive vehicle is a rear wheel drive. That's the truth.
Anyway, you were out in the Jeep and found some trouble. Why? Because I know
we were bouncing around just seeing what we could see.
I know you're hurting. College is calling you. Boone's sitting at around 29, 30 inches of snow right now. How in the world do you make it through that?
I had a friend who was don't judge him for this, but he was stacking bottles of Red's Apple Ale on top of each other on top of his car. And it was... You know, it was almost to the neck of the second bottle at one point. So, I mean, how tall is a drink bottle? About 9 inches, 10 inches?
9, 10 inches.
Something like that. So it was a good 18 inches of snow.
Wow.
Jim Cantore showed up. And
he's up there right now.
He's up there right now. I did see some intrepid college kids had taken shovels out and actually cut a beer pong table into the snow.
That's awesome. So
they had enough room to move around it, but they cut a rectangular shaped block of snow around it, and then they shoveled out around it, and they just put their beer cups in there. College kids will figure it out, man. Yeah. They're resilient.
Yeah. I could already tell you that huge sigh or that huge cheer that went up a little while ago. Of course, parents all over Greenville County shaking their head again as school is out tomorrow. So hope everybody survived. I tell you what, Diesel, the reason you didn't hear from me yesterday is Saturday night, that power flickered maybe two or three times, you know what I mean? And fortunately, it never went out. But I was on standby to go pull that generator just in case. I was on my way in from the house today 2.5 hours ago. There's still a lot, most of Roper Mountain Road without power. So it was a snowmageddon here in the upstate. And that's what I was happy about. We actually got snow and it just wasn't ice. All right. Glad you came out of it okay, because we did have some basketball this weekend. Tiger basketball team falls to 6-3. They gave up 19 made three-pointers out of 30 attempts on Saturday against Mississippi State in the Never Forget Classic up in New Jersey. I mean, that's 60% from behind the arc that Mississippi State hit. Now, there's one thing when you're hot. There's another thing when you're getting wide open threes in the flow of the offense. So Clemson, apparently, according to Shelton Mitchell about 30 minutes ago on Twitter, has had a come to Jesus meeting, because I don't think they thought when they were ranked number 16 in the preseason that they would find themselves at 6-3. You on the surface, you're playing a number 22 ranked Mississippi State team, now 8-1 on the year. You know, a neutral site, and you're doing it without your best player, Marquise Reed, doesn't necessarily look like the worst loss in the world. But the problem is, like I said, 19 for 30 for Brad Brunell, a guy that prides himself on defense, that's not good enough. And, you can coach energy, you can coach effort. And I think Brad Brunell was a little bit upset. Amir Sims led the Tigers, 23 points, 4 rebounds. And here's what's up next as Clemson tries to get healthy headed into the Christmas break. This Saturday at 3 p.m., you got a home contest against Radford. Next week on the 18th, you're Charleston Southern at home. That's a Tuesday, I believe. And that's a 7 p.m. tip-off. And then finally, the 22nd on Saturday, a week from Saturday, at South Carolina for a 2 p.m. tip-off. So speaking of the Gamecocks, bad, tough week. Go 0-2. However, a lot of positive can come out of 11-point loss against number 5 Michigan, 89-78. Just the team played hard. I hate saying this because – you know, South Carolina got screwed on some officiating at Michigan. I don't know if it was the fact that it was 11 a.m. tip-off local time, Diesel, up in Ann Arbor. But I'll give you a sequence that made me scratch my head on Saturday when it came to sometimes you just go, nope, you can play hard, but you aren't going to have a chance. Chris Silva goes down the lane, gets hacked, gets fouled, misses the shot, no whistle. He's down on the ground trying to get up, and the guy that hacked him on the field goal attempt falls down. They blow the whistle and call it on Chris Silva. And you're like, wait a second. He would not have been on the ground if he didn't get hacked on that shot. And you know what? It was Big Ten officiating all day long. Frank Martin couldn't take it anymore. He took his technical as rightfully he should. But you know what? His kids played hard. They do fall to 4-5, but the margin for error headed into the rest of the season, slim and none for the South Carolina basketball team, as you're now 4-5. You host Virginia on the 19th. So that gives you 9 days now to get healthy for that Wednesday night contest against one of the undefeated teams in college basketball with Virginia. And then, as we mentioned, on the weekend next Saturday, Clemson comes to town for a 2 p.m. tip-off. And last week, it was the first time the Furman Paladins were ranked in the AP Top 25. Well, the new rankings just came out a little bit ago, and the Furman Paladins have moved up to number 23. They get a 74-60 win over the Upstate Spartans in Spartanburg on Saturday. Paladins now 10-0 on the season, is like Reese Davis tweeted a little bit ago. It's a Paladin world, and we're all living in it right now. Absolutely next level, because I mentioned Paladins 10-0, one of eight teams remaining in college basketball that's undefeated. You also have Kansas. We mentioned Virginia, who plays next week at South Carolina. Michigan, that South Carolina just lost to. So think about that when it comes to South Carolina's out-of-conference schedule. University of Nevada, Texas Tech, Buffalo, and Houston. Those other seven teams besides the Furman Paladins remain undefeated in college basketball. That's it. Now, this tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at Timmons Arena, the Furman Paladins take on Charleston Southern. This Saturday at 4 p.m., that's a UNC Wilmington Seahawks team that comes to town. One more game for the Paladins before they head into the Christmas break. They will be at LSU on December 21st. And then finally, it was a historic afternoon yesterday up at the Richardson Indoor Stadium on the campus of Wofford. Fletcher McGee scored his 2,000th point in program history as Wofford. Watch out now for the Terriers as well. 8-3 on the year. They get an 82-71 win over Coastal Carolina. So what's up next? UNC Asheville on Saturday night with a 7 p.m. tip-off up there at the Richardson Indoor Stadium. But congratulations to Fletcher McGee, scoring 2,000 points so far in his Wofford career. Cameron Jackson led the Wofford Terriers on yesterday with a total of 24 points. So that gets you a little bit going when it comes to college basketball. We can talk about that. We'll circle back around later on. However, Diesel, when we come back, we'll open up the phone lines at 844-GSP-ESPN. We can get whatever you want to. But before I get to my Heisman thoughts, you know what? Scott Satterfield, your former App State head coach, he's making it a little bit easier for you to look at him and leave him in the rearview mirror. I'll tell you about that when we come back. 844-GSP-ESPN. Also did some digging. We'll let you know who may be the next App State head coach, because Georgia Tech is filled, Liberty's filled, and a few more slots as well. So, Diesel, is there something in the water that turns football coaches and basketball coaches into idiots? Because I'm trying to make you feel better, and I totally get what Scott Satterfield is doing here, which is, you know, the previous staff of Bobby Petrino had eight commits to signing class.
Okay.
They cut all of them loose, did Scott Satterfield. Here's the here's the problem. He didn't call and cut the scholarship loose. He had a graduate assistant do it, which is
cold.
That's the cold part of it. Now, I don't disagree with the fact that, hey, they were recruited possibly for a different type of system, or, you know, a little different type of human being. I'm just saying I understand why it happened, but own it and go as the head coach. However, I think the athletic director at Louisville overreached when he told all the coaches there of these kids, listen, quote, we were told from somebody at Louisville that all the commits that were still going to have their scholarship hold up no matter what happened with the new coach. The issue is, or the worst case scenario is, when it comes to these eight recruits, one of them is already graduated from high school. He had already chosen his dorm room and would be a early enrollee here on January 3rd. So that's not a whole lot. The other guys, you know, gives them some time till the first weekend in Tuesday, or the first Wednesday in February for National Signing Day. But again, number one, I understand the move in every way, shape, or form. But if you're going to make that move, take 10, 15, 20 minutes and make the phone call yourself and not a so-called flunky. The one that you probably should have taken the high road and kept is the one that was going to be enrolling here.
Enrolling,
right.
Yeah.
So I was just trying to make you feel better about it. Before we go to the phone lines, I can also give you a little update on the App State coaching search. Dwayne Ledford has pulled his name out of the process and will be joining Scott Satterfield's staff at Louisville. So with him out of the process, you're now hearing whispers that App State athletic director Doug Gillen is now considering former East Carolina head coach Ruffin McNeil, who's the defensive coordinator at Oklahoma, Alabama co-offensive coordinator Josh Gattis, as well as Nate Woody. Now, here's the thing. Josh Gattis's name has come up in the Temple coaching search as well, because Jeff Collins took the Georgia Tech job this weekend. The problem is Mike Locksley is now going to pull Butch Jones, who was on the support staff at Alabama, to associate head coach role at the University of Maryland. So Nick Saban is determined he doesn't want to lose Gattis. Usually what Nick wants, Nick gets, and can throw some extra money that way.
Right.
So it will be interesting to see how the dominoes move here in the next couple of days.
Yeah, and if it comes down to Gattis being to having a choice between Temple and having App State, it depends on what he wants.
App State.
Do you want to make money and probably win, topping out at 7-8 games a year? Or would you rather make a little less and win 11-12 games a year?
The only time the Link is ever going to see a full college football game when it comes to attendance was this past Saturday's Army-Navy game. Outside of Temple, you ain't getting more than 15,000-18,000 unless you get a big-name opponent to come in, and they bring 30,000 fans with them. Let's go to the phone lines. Delvin wants to talk college football. Delvin, hope you enjoyed Snowmageddon.
Yeah, I hear you about that snow beginning thing, but I agree with you guys. I was gonna talk to you about the coach search. Talk to Zach. What do you think the ladies now? I think Dwayne Leffert was the guy, and obviously he's going to join Scott Satterfield in Louisville. So if it's true that it's Josh Gattis, I think it might end up being either Nate Woody or Ruffin McNeil as the head coach. What do you think about those possibilities, Diesel? And as far as Georgia Tech, I thought that was a good hire. And he already said he's going to run a pro style. Joe Collins said we're going to run a pro style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd be excited about Nate Woody. I'm not exactly sure about Ruffin McNeil. I mean, he is an older coach, and I don't look at him as a guy who's going to be around for a long time. I don't know. I have a lot of respect for Ruffin McNeil. He just doesn't excite me.
But East Carolina wishes the day that they never fired him because it's been the karma of Ruffin McNeil that's held that program back.
Yeah, and the Temple job, you know, it could be interesting because you said Josh Gattis off that job. Then this ain't Greg Schiano was off that job too. So, and Butch Jones, he was possibly, his name was mentioned for that job. So, it probably, Greg Schiano job to lose all the power. The name out there we ain't even heard of at Temple, but if Greg Schiano can get that job, he know the area real well. Being that he coaches Rutgers, if he does good at Temple, and Jeremy Pruitt's club at Tennessee, you know everybody's gonna be talking about that, Sturge.
All right, Delvin, appreciate the phone call. Listen, Greg Schiano is a jackass. All right, so maybe he deserves the Temple job and something like that to kind of quell that lack of humility that he has in there. Here's the deal: I wouldn't touch the Temple job with a 10-foot pole, except for this. Look at all the coaches that have moved on from Temple here over the last 15 years. You had Steve Addazio land the Boston College job. You know, back in the day, you had Al Golden do well enough at Temple to land the Miami job. Of course, we know what happened a couple of years ago with Matt Rhule leaving and getting the Baylor job. Now Jeff Collins leaves Temple after a two-year stint for the Georgia Tech job. So if you're looking at it from a professional stepping stone standpoint, Diesel, the job shows that you can step on Philadelphia and move on to somewhere else pretty quick. You know what I mean? So there's a lot to be said from that. But as far as Georgia Tech hiring Collins, he is a native of the state of Georgia. He's from Conyers, so therefore he has been around that area. He served as a graduate assistant at Georgia Tech in 1999 and 2000 before being named the tight ends coach for the 2001 season. Was 2006, the director of player personnel for one season before he moved to the University of Alabama. So here's the thing. He's got not only a Georgia Tech pedigree, he's got what most people want in college football right now, Diesel, which is some form or shape or form of having some Nick Saban DNA in them right now. I mean, you think of how large Nick Saban's coaching tree has gotten here over the last few years.
I'd love to know, and this would take some legwork, I'd love to know the overall success of the of all of the Nick Saban disciples.
It's been pretty
that
good.
That have splintered out. Yeah, they've all been very good. I mean,
not all, because what's his name? McElwain did not do a whole lot with Florida. If you can't do anything in that position, now you're the head coach at what, Central Michigan?
Yeah, but Florida has fallen to a B-plus job at this point, in my opinion. And maybe not necessarily, let me rephrase that, not necessarily a B-plus job.
Sign me up for that B-plus honor roll, baby.
It's the whole state of the program is a B-plus right now. They have fallen off.
Well,
and it's going to take them a while to come back, and it's going to take something special for Florida to come back.
They had the talent down there. They did not have the facility. So what they have done is they are catching up in the arms race. They have torn down their baseball stadium to build their national championship. Now they've got indoor practice facilities and everything else that they had let the rest of the Southeastern Conference pass them by. And listen, that is a place that you don't have to drive more than 30 miles, you know, a circle around Gainesville to go find some serious talent.
Yeah, but Florida was still recruiting at a high level regardless. It's not like having a nice, cushy locker room is suddenly going to turn a four-star into a five.
No, they just had some low-character guys, and that held them back. That goes all the way back to the Urban
Meyer
days. That's
not related to facilities, though.
No, but I'm saying now that they're in position to win 10 games in year number one of one of the best hires in Dan Mullen, sign me up for that B-plus job all day long, because it just goes to show if you wait long enough, Diesel, you will get a second chance in – Hugh Freeze is a new head coach in college football. Remember last week we're talking, was Tennessee going to hire him as offensive coordinator? Auburn was upset because they couldn't get him a couple of year contract to become the offensive coordinator. And Liberty comes and scoops him up. Turner Gill retires from college football coaching, and Hugh Freeze was announced as the new head coach of the Liberty Flames, 39-25 in 5 years with the Rebels. But we know that, hey, let's be honest, his career at Ole Miss ended up in disgrace. Why? Because you don't do that to your wife and get caught lying and everything else. But this is what Hugh Freeze had to say at his hiring press conference. Quote, "It's an unbelievable day. I've sat out of football for the better part of 2 years and has given me time to reflect on the core values to which, when I adhered to them, followed great blessing. It also gives me time when I did not adhere to them to learn what discipline looks like. I've learned through the grace and love of people." Well, I also want to congratulate Liberty's SID or speechwriter for helping Hugh Freeze in that hiring moment here in the last couple of days. The Flames were 6-6 here this past season. So that gives you a little update on the coaching carousel. When we come back, the Heisman Trophy was awarded this weekend. The winner was Kyler Murray. The loser is whichever freaking journalist, kid, whatever, went back and found a bunch of tweets when he was 14 years old that he had to go out there and apologize. The timing of the release of the tweets equaled the winning of the Heisman Trophy. And, you know, that sucks. You know what I mean? The kid's 14 years old, didn't even have a driver's license, and he's out there having to apologize for it. No, the only thing that needs to be apologized from this point moving forward is maybe an asterisk when the Heisman Trophy's name comes up. Give me your thoughts on that. 844-GSP-ESPN. We're live in studio, and it's your day. So, Diesel, they were just playing replay here on the television screen here in the studio. One thing that I want to go ahead and see more of in the NFL is, you know what, I don't need marching bands. You got that in college or this or that. I want the days of going back to the old punt, pass, and kick contest. They used to have those roughly at halftime every year of every game, and it was a great way to be entertained during halftime, watching these kids and the punt, pass, and kick. But they just showed a picture of Andy Reid competing back in the day. And, you know, the Chiefs head coach, I swear to God, he looks like he's 25 years old with a mustache, and these kids are like 4 feet tall, man. So no doubt that I would like to see more of that. Before we go to the phones, we were here there during the news. I see Jimmy wants to talk Raiders. It's John Gruden's show. Reggie McKenzie, who was just fired from the Oakland Raiders, that's window dressing. Because, Jimmy, how can you get away with trading Kevin Mack and Amari Cooper and watch them perform elsewhere and feel good about anything?
Well, I think they're using Reggie McKenzie as a scapegoat.
Absolutely. Now it's John Gruden's show from this point moving forward, and he needs to show that he had a plan. And I do think that they were just trying to unload everything to rebuild for Las Vegas, but now it's on Gruden. He doesn't have a buffer zone anymore.
Yeah, and I think I talked to y'all last week about this too. I mean, two previous number and first round picks, Khalil Mack, look what he's doing for the Bears.
God.
Amari Cooper, I think I told some of the guys on the huddle that that Amari Cooper was going to be a good trade because he was a previous first-round pick. He had over 100 catches his last year at Alabama, so it was obvious that he was a talent. He was just playing for the wrong organization.
Yeah, you go back and look at the history of Alabama football, Jimmy, and outside of Julio Jones, Amari Cooper is the most successful wide receiver, and those kind of talents have been few and far between in Tuscaloosa.
And the other thing is, I think that a lot of people need to apologize to Dak Prescott, because now that he's got a go-to receiver like Amari Cooper, the team is on a winning streak, and they're leading the division. They're leading their division after everybody saying everybody should be fired and all this good stuff. It just goes to show that it was the organization's fault that the Dallas Cowboys were performing the way they did because they got rid of Dez Bryant and didn't replace him with anybody. He didn't have a go-to receiver.
Yeah, and the only thing I would ask out of the Cowboys at this point, and that was a big overtime win against the Eagles yesterday, just do something to be a little bit more creative on first down, because it seems like just due to the fact that there's only so many things you can do with your running back there from Ohio State, it's off tackle on first down. And, you know, that would even make Dak Prescott that much more effective if it didn't feel like the kind of the same four or five plays were being always run on first down.
Yeah, and it's like, what was Dak supposed to do? I mean, who was he supposed to go to? I mean, he didn't have a guy. It's just like the Carolina Panthers. They should have got a running back in the draft or free agency, and look what's happening to them.
Yeah, it's been a great call, Jimmy. I appreciate it because, you know, here's the deal. In trading away a Khalil Mack, I mean, look what the Bears did yesterday. 15-6 on the L.A. Rams. All the Rams have done is score on everybody. And look, it's kind of cool when their head coach shows up at the podium wearing, I guess he wore it all day yesterday, Monsters of the Midway sweatshirt. Because that's what they got known as in that great run back in, what, 84 or 85 back then. They were definitely the Monsters of the Midway, and Khalil Mack has just got them playing that kind of football all over again. And Diesel, it shows in the NFL, defense can still win games now. Whether they can still win championships, who knows?
Do you remember when the Rams gave up as much as they did to get Jared Goff? And we looked at the coaching staff and said, these guys are morons. Mm-hmm. What are they doing? I can't believe they would sell off all these guys and sell off all these draft picks and go after Goff. He's a bum. What if that's exactly what John Gruden is doing in L.A.? What if he's selling off all of the people in that locker room who didn't want to be there? He's selling off the people who didn't buy into the system. He's selling off all the bad seeds to get what he wants. Isn't that a head coach's job?
Yeah, well, it depends. Is he the head coach and general manager, or is he the head coach? Because, you know, we had a figurehead with Reggie McKenzie. Everybody knew when John Gruden got back in the NFL, he was going to be calling every shot. And guess what? Now that McKenzie's gone, the buffer is gone. So now it's all on him. And you may be right. But we shall see when all is said and done. Because hey, you did see the the Oakland Raiders get their third win on the season yesterday, and I think there's something to going to a new city where they're going to embrace you with open arms, with kind of a clean slate, you know what I mean, and build that up right there in front of you. So I see it, but like I said, from this point moving forward, I don't think Gruden's got anybody to blame but himself. And for true hardcore Raider fans, and we'll see how long those guys are true hardcore Raider fans when they move from Oakland to Las Vegas. Every time they watch Khalil Mack or Amari Cooper have a little monster game, it's going to rub a little salt in that wound right now, but sooner or later, it will be on by. What did you think of the play of the year? You know, every weekend, if you're watching SportsCenter, oh, my God, it's the play of the year in the NFL. We had the play of the year.
The Dolphins-Patriots?
Yes.
I love it. I love it. I love watching Patriots fans squirm. I love them walk around, watching them walk around and pout and sulk. And oh my God, we lost to the Dolphins. Not only did you lose to the Dolphins, you lost on a backyard football play. You know, ask Duke how they felt after Miami pitched the ball 87 times and scored a touchdown on them.
I would say that Duke that was worse because Miami had to have, what, 14? Or no, let's not embellish. There were 7 or 8 laterals on that Miami return against Duke that year, which one of them wasn't it a little bit forward or something and technically could have been called
back. I think one of them
was
illegal.
Same thing that happened in the Steelers game, what, 5 years ago, where they had 5 or 6, 7 laterals and they get it to the wide receiver who takes it to the end zone, and somehow, some way, the field judge was watching at the 12-yard line when about an inch and a half of his shoe hit the sideline on his way to the end zone. But yesterday, the Miami Dolphins pull off one of the plays of the year in the NFL. It's the final play of the game. We'll come back and we'll tell you how even the greatest coaches in NFL history, Diesel, they can have a brain fart from time to time as well. You can get us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate, Diesel at Diesel on Radio, me at Sturgis Sports, and don't forget about the website. You can go register for a trip to Boston to go see the Rolling Stones. So the Miami Dolphins win on a last play of the game scenario, improved to 7-6 on the year, just 2 games behind the New England Patriots, who are 9-4. A game in which the Patriots were up 27-21 at halftime, and then only score 6 points in the fourth quarter. But Diesel, is it fair to say Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, is going to go down, if not the greatest head coach in NFL history, in the top 3?
Sure, behind Mike Ditka and his cigar.
Mike Ditka. Let's see.
You're right. He is going to go down as the greatest coach in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, the only ones I'd put even in the same scenario are Chuck Knoll, who had 4 Super Bowl titles with the Pittsburgh Steelers back in the 70s. Even Cowboys coach Tom Landry back in the day that had a multiple
Lombardi.
Lombardi. Well, I was kind of going chronologically backwards, but Belichick's definitely on the Mount Rushmores of all-time NFL head coaches. But it wasn't even the play itself and how it went down that you can pin on Belichick. It all started to unravel at the end of the game when Bill Belichick outthinks himself, because the Patriots could have prevented the Dolphins from even running that particular play at all had they chosen a better in-game strategy. I get it. Hindsight's 50-50. But the Patriots led by 2 points. 2 points when they faced 4th and goal at the Miami 4-yard line with just 21 seconds left in the game. Miami had already now used all of its timeouts, okay? Why kick the field goal? I get it. It puts you up more than a field goal. So I understand the rationale behind it. But less than 20, if you go ahead and run a play there, have Brady or somebody, I mean, put have somebody run around for a few minutes or a few seconds, chuck it out of the back of the end zone. Do you really think the Miami Dolphins are going 95 yards in 16 seconds with no timeouts? No, it's not happening. So even choosing to kick the field goal, which I get, numbers-wise, puts you up over 3 points, so therefore you can't lose on a field goal, much be less be tied on it. But I like the chances of something happening better on a kickoff in the other team's offense on a little bit shorter field than I do from the five-yard line with no timeouts left. So that was mistake number one. But getting into a routine is what hurts you as a human being, is what hurts you as a football player, and what can hurt you as a head coach. And sometimes routines can be great, like working out, or the thought process becomes routine, and guess what? Something bad eventually happens. But Diesel, I do not know if you saw the replay, which was 1,000 times. I mean, what? Just think about being in that stadium, watching how that play goes down. They insert, do the New England Patriots, Rob Gronkowski, into the back line of their defense, which is what the Patriots do every single time a Hail Mary situation comes up. So, one play left on the clock. Miami's got it at the 31-yard line with 7 seconds left in the game. You have one play left. What do you know about Ryan Tannehill? He is coming off a shoulder injury. So, from the 31-yard line, I can do the Alabama math. You do the App State. That's 69 yards. To get a Hail Mary off and throw it 69 yards through the air means it's actually, what, 78-yard pass? Ryan Tannehill's shoulder did not allow him to throw the ball 45 or 50 yards downfield, much less to the end zone. So, therefore, there was never a chance that the Miami Dolphins were throwing a Hail Mary. Why? They didn't have a quarterback in which they could do it with. So the option was obvious to throw something shorter and to have some kind of laterals. There's where Gronkowski hurts you. He's trying to take all the blame for the organization and saying, my effort sucked on that final play. And he got juked by Kenyon Drake, and Drake got by him. There were only two laterals on this play. It's not like it was the Cal Stanford game all over again. You know what I mean? Where there, you know, should have never had. No, this was pretty efficient. Also, in that kind of scenario, they had one of their linebackers kind of like spy, if you will, Ryan Tannehill. But Kyle Van Noy, if you notice, on the final play, he kind of drops back and spies. Had he continued to drop back, watch. When Kenyon Drake gets lateraled the football, he is within 2 feet of making the play. But instead of by staying there spying him, which I get it. If you're going to throw a Hail Mary, you would want somebody putting pressure on Tannehill as he's coming out of the pocket looking for some time and some room to throw. He was never, ever going to throw. Wherever the scouting was for the New England Patriots, it failed them. And it failed them miserably. And by getting into the same routine of what you always do on a Hail Mary, you had Gronkowski out on the field. He is not the fastest and the quickest. And you saw when Kenyon Drake made that move to the end zone, he was flat-footed. There was no catching him. And boom, these kind of plays happen once or twice a decade. But in my opinion, sometimes you just grin, you shake your head and you grin and you go, you know what? It happened. To me, this is one that the New England Patriots, one of the best programs in the NFL, are going to go back and go, what the world were we thinking? Because it was all based off one premise. Ryan Tannehill had the arm to deliver a Hail Mary when you cannot do that coming off of shoulder surgery. Now, if you see the backup come in, yeah, that's the route they're going. As soon as they saw Ryan Tannehill come onto the field in that situation, They should have known the Hail Mary was not in effect. That one's on the New England Patriots, and it closes up the deal. No doubt about it. Just a two-game lead for the Patriots when it comes to the AFC. AFC East. Let me make sure I get that right. Finally, we could all exhale a little bit deeper. You know, up in the great state of Michigan, they were exhaling and partying when Urban Meyer announced his retirement from the head coach at Ohio State. Why? Urban Meyer 7-0 against Michigan while head coach of the Buckeyes. But Jim Harbaugh had, for whatever reason, Diesel, he had to come out and squash the speculation that he's returning to the NFL. Former Ohio State star receiver and Fox analyst Chris Carter said that Harbaugh was a potential candidate for the job with both the Green Bay Packers and the Cleveland Browns, but Jim Harbaugh says, nope, that is not the case, and he will lead his eighth-rate Wolverines here on New Year's Day against the Florida Gators. So Michigan won 10 games this season for the third time under Jim Harbaugh, but dropped to 0-4 against the Buckeyes. Also was not in the Big Ten championship game. Once again, yes, it's not New Year's Day. It's December 29th that the Michigan Wolverines and the Florida Gators. I don't know if you're a college coach, if you're a pro coach, what you are, if you're Jim Harbaugh, but I just feel better knowing that you're going to be in college football next year. All right, ESPN may be losing one of their players, or at least if the Dallas Cowboys have anything to say about it. We'll take a look at that. We'll study the lack of chances that the Carolina Panthers have when their numbers come up in playoff contention right now. Absolutely dreadful yesterday, that 26-20 loss. I'm sorry, Cam Newton, when you're playing the best football of your career, you don't lose five consecutive games as the Carolina Panthers have done now. So we'll see what's up next. Oh, by the way, what's up next for the Carolina Panthers? Monday Night Football at home next Monday night with the best team in the NFL coming in, the New Orleans Saints.
Watch them just go out there and throw up 50 points against the Saints. That would be such a thing for them to do.
It would be pretty next level, but ain't likely to happen. I think the Saints are the best in the NFL, and the Panthers' chances are toast. We'll tell you why when we come back. 844-GSP-ESPN.